His offering in this place tonight. Thank you. As you remain standing, I'm going to invite you real quickly to open up your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 14. And as promised, I'm going to finish up on something that we started a couple of weeks ago when we came back from Mighty Men of Valor. And I believe this evening that God, amen, has a word for us to mold us, to shape us, and to challenge us. Pastor Danny was speaking earlier and talking about how every day he has that song in his heart, remembering what God has done in his life. Amen. And how many know that's a good place to be? Because unfortunately, sometimes we forget what God has done in our lives. Sometimes we forget everything that God has given us and everything that God makes accessible to us. And we settle for what the world has to offer instead of what God has to offer us. 1 Kings chapter 14, we're going to start reading in verse 25. It says, it happened in the fifth year of the king of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made, and King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place, and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway to the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, then brought them back into the guard room. You can be seated this evening. Amen. I want to thank God this evening for my salvation. Amen. For the opportunity that he's given me to be with you this evening. I want to thank Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, the ministers on staff for granting me this opportunity to share God's word with you this evening. Amen. I count it not only a privilege, amen, but also a joy, amen, to be used in the service of the Lord alongside the great men of God that share this pulpit. Amen. Here in the passage of scripture that we read, I just want to reiterate and go over some of the things that we talked about last time. We talked about how Rehoboam had allowed the king of Egypt, which is symbolic of the world, to go in and take all the valuable possessions that were in the house of God, but also in the king's palace. And he didn't put up a fight. He just let him go in there and take everything that was valuable. Now, if we know the genealogy of Rehoboam, he is the grandchild of King David and the son of Solomon. So Rehoboam, like us in Victory Outreach, come from a long line of men of God that had gone before him and had done great exploits for God. David, if you remembered, was the giant killer. David was the man that was after God's own heart. He was a man that was always fighting for God and desired to build a temple for God. And then we have his son Solomon, which was the wisest man in all the earth, was a man that was known not only for his wisdom, but he was known for all the treasures that he had accumulated to build the house of God and to fashion it with gold in all kinds of different places. We know that Jeroboam came from a rich history of men that had gone before him, men that had fought in defense of the house of God, men that had fought in defense of the children of God. David made his life or his career out of fighting for the kingdom of God and for the house of God. Solomon made a name for himself in building a house for God, a house that would separate them from the rest of the people in the land. And then Jeroboam, representing the third generation, came up and allowed the world, or the king of the world of Egypt, to come in and take everything that his family had worked so hard to accumulate and so hard to establish. And I want to talk to you this evening in reference to that, but how it relates to the vision that God has given the ministry of Victory Outreach. If we look at the history of our ministry, we see that it is very similar to the kings of Egypt. We have pioneers in our ministry like Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie that dare to believe God for the impossible. who dared to believe that God was not only able to save the drug addict, the alcoholic, and the gang member, but that God was able to raise up a ministry among those types of people that would influence the inner cities of the world, that would bring a message of hope to the people that were lost, that would bring a message of hope to drug addicts, gang members, alcoholics, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And we read about the pioneers in our own ministry that have gone before us, that have went into other cities to establish Victory Outreach churches and recovery homes in the United States and in Mexico and South America, in Europe and Asia and through the uttermost parts of the world. And we have our own vision or part of the vision here in the city of Albuquerque, where our pastor has been serving the Lord faithfully in this city for 30 years and has trusted and believed that God was going to raise up a ministry here in the city of Albuquerque that was going to reach the hurting people of our city, that dedicated their lives to building a ministry that drug addicts could come and receive the help that they needed, that prostitutes could come in and receive the message of hope, that they didn't have to live their lives the way they've been living their lives, but that they could be changed and transformed by the power of Jesus, Jesus Christ. We know that we are part of the ministry of Victory Outreach, but the future of our ministry hangs in our balance. We are the ones that are going to determine if we are going to continue the legacy or if we are going to be like Rehoboam and allow the world to come in and snatch everything that is valuable to us as it relates to our ministry. One of the most valuable things that we possess as the ministry of Victory Outreach is the unique and special anointing that God has placed over our ministry to reach the hurting people of the inner cities throughout the world. We have a very special and a very unique anointing upon our lives to reach the hardcore drug addicts, the hardcore gang members, to reach the prostitutes, to reach the alcoholics, to reach the people that everybody has given up on, because we ourselves found ourselves in that situation. And if God was able to do it for us, then God is able to do it for them. We have a very unique and a special anointing in the ministry of Victory Outreach. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am amazed at how God is able to use our ministry. We have seen crusades in South America, in Europe, and in other countries where they take ex-gang members and drug addicts and they go put on a play about the life of gangs and drugs in Los Angeles or some other city in the United States of America. They take that same drama into a foreign country that has never heard about cholos, that have never heard about oldies, that have never heard about gang banging, but they see that through the anointing of God that is upon the ministry of Victory Outreach, that people get touched, people's lives change, people get touched by the message of hope, and churches are able to be birthed, recovery homes are able to be birthed in those foreign countries, not because of the drama, not because of the songs that are played, not because of the way that the actors dress, but because of the anointing that is upon the ministry of Victory Outreach. That's what makes a difference. And God forbid that we would allow the world to come and take that anointing that God has given us. You know, Sunday night when we went out to the streets, I found myself in a very unique situation. We went to a park a few blocks from here, and our strategy is always the same. We jump out of our vehicles, we get our flyers, and we look for the worst of the worst. Well, we jumped out of our vehicles, and we started looking around, and there wasn't any worst of the worst. There was a lot of normal people at this park. And I looked at the people that were with me, and I was like, what are we going to do now? Because these people don't look anything like the people that we're used to reaching. Put me in a level 6 maximum security prison And I will reach somebody and tell them about Jesus Christ. Put us on the corner of Central and Wyoming on a Friday night, and we know how to tell people about Jesus Christ. Put us anywhere where there's drug addicts, alcoholics, gang members. We know how to reach those kinds of people. But this time I was lost. I was like, how do we do this? So I walk up to somebody trying to look as, you know, as normal as possible. I walk up to this lady that's sitting on a bench, and I said, okay, God, you got to give me some words. What am I going to tell this lady so she doesn't feel like I'm trying to rob her or that I'm trying to do something else? So I walk up to her and say, you know what, we're from Victory Outreach, and we're just around in the neighborhood inviting people to church, and I was wondering, you know, if there was something we could pray for you about. She looked at me, and she said, no, nothing. I can't think of anything for you to pray for me. I said, well, can I give you a flyer? She said, no, my body reacts to glossy paper. I was like, whoa. She left me like speechless, and that's pretty hard to do for me, to leave me speechless. But I was, okay, God bless you. And we moved on, and we turned the corner, and there was a whole group of normal people. And I thought to myself, we're really in trouble now. But nonetheless, we made an effort to do this, and then we decided, well, let's go door to door, and we'll knock on doors, and we'll invite people to church. And for me, that's kind of risky, to go door to door. And then me and Gary together, and me and him have already had bad experiences doing that. I'm going to tell on you, Gary, because you almost got me arrested. We were in California at the Mighty Men of Valor. And it was the first day we were staying at an Airbnb. Brother Gary had made the arrangement, so I said, it was cool. So we called the guy and says, hey, we're here early. Can we check in? He goes, yeah. He goes, come on down. So we go to this place, bunch of condominiums, real nice looking area, really nice place. And we walk to the place that the guy told us he was going to be at. The door's a little bit open, so we thought this is definitely going to be the place. So we kind of knock, and Gary looks at me, and I said, you go in, I'm going to go in. So he opens the door, and he goes into the place, and some Chinese lady starts yelling and screaming, what are you doing in my house? What are you doing in my house? And I said, Gary, you're going to get me hemmed up, and the conference hasn't even started. We were in the wrong place. But we could have got arrested. So I'm kind of shy about going and knocking on people's doors since then. But nonetheless, we went, we knocked on some doors, and we invited people to church. And as we were leaving, I was thinking to myself, he said, it can't end like this. I said, God has anointed our ministry to reach hurting people. Yes, we are uniquely anointed to reach a certain kind of people, but that's not going to prevent us from reaching all kinds of people. So let me step out of my comfort zone and let me go talk to this normal looking person over here with his two little kids playing at the park, and let me see if I can share a little Jesus with him. So I went up to him, talked to him for a little bit, and then I asked him, hey, brother, can I pray for you? Is there something that you need? He goes, pray for my family. So I was able to pray for him and do the thing that we do, even though he wasn't a gang member, he wasn't a drug addict, he wasn't the kind of people that we're used to reaching, because God's anointing allows us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. God's anointing allows us to reach people we normally wouldn't reach. Yes, he's called us to a specific group of people, but that should never limit us from reaching other people. And you know what it is about the anointing? That it has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with our looks. It has nothing to do with our charisma. It has nothing to do with our Bible knowledge, with our previous history, the things that we've done before. It has nothing to do with who we are and everything to do with who Jesus is in our lives. I'll give you a case in point, because this is another thing that, why I love the ministry of Victory Outreach. When we go to the level 6 maximum security prison, Pastor Joel, myself, and Brother Shane go. For me and Pastor Joel, it's like a kid in a candy store. They open up those gates, and we just want to go talk to everybody, because the majority of the people in there we know. So it's like our thing. Shane's never been to jail. He's never been to prison. But to see him in a level 6 prison, going door to door, knocking on windows and asking people if they want to hear the message of Jesus Christ. It's because he's walking in the anointing that God has placed upon our ministry. He knows it has nothing to do with him. He knows that it doesn't have to do with his background or where he's been in his life. He knows it has to do with the anointing that God has placed on the ministry of Victory Outreach. A lot of times we cheat ourselves by not walking in the anointing that God has given us. I pray to God that every woman here tonight shows up on Thursday and Friday to go bring the message of hope to the women during Code Red. You don't have to have been a drug addict. You don't have to have been a prostitute. All you have to do is walk in the anointing that God has placed on our ministry, and you will see people receptive to the message. You will see people open their hearts to what you have to tell them, because it has nothing to do with us and everything to do with God. You know, Rehoboam allowed the king of Egypt to come and take everything. God forbid that we would allow the world to take the anointing that God has placed upon our ministry. That we would allow the world to creep in and take the anointing that God has placed upon our lives, to be used to make profit in the world rather than to be used to make an impact in the kingdom of heaven. You know, another thing too, that we allow the, you know, I hate it when people say that the devil's attacking my finances. Because sometimes we're not even putting up a fight. We're just letting him take it. It's not that the devil is attacking your finances. It's that you're giving it to all the wrong places. You know, we came back from Mighty Men of Valor, and some of the men that had gone started to testify about the day that we went to the United We Can thing. And we heard testimonies about throughout the world all the great things that God is doing in the ministry of Victory Outreach. That wasn't the thing that stood out the most in my mind. When I went there, I heard about Cuba, I heard about India, I heard about all the South Pacific and all the different places that are opening up to the ministry of Victory Outreach. But the loudest message that I heard is when the director got up there and said that only less than 5% of church members in Victory Outreach are United We Can members. That was the loudest message that I heard throughout that whole meeting. How can only 5% of the people in our churches belong to United We Can, when it is a ministry that is reaching, hurting people throughout the world? We got people in other countries that are laying down their lives, that are willing to risk their lives to preach the message of hope, and we don't have the guts to stand behind them with a dollar a day because we're too busy buying Starbucks, because we're too busy competing with the world, because we want the latest this or the latest that, that we're skimping on what God is doing in other countries. God forbid that we would allow the world to compete with the money that belongs to God. You know, I shared this in our life group the other day. It's like when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God gave them gold and silver. The Egyptians gave it to them. Here, take this with you. God moved in their heart and they went out. They were loaded. When they went into the wilderness, they were holding all kinds of gold and all kinds of silver because God was preparing them to enter into the promised land. God was preparing them to use that gold to fashion the Ark of the Covenant and all the holy articles for the house of God. God gave them the resources that they needed. But you know what happened in the wilderness? They said, we are going to give the gold that God gave us for the temple and for the ark, and we're going to fashion it into an idol because we want to be like the rest of the people. So instead of using the resources that God gave them for the kingdom, they used it to compete with the world because they wanted to be more like the world than they wanted to be like God. You see, God gives us the resources that we need to finance the kingdom of God. God gives us the resources that we need to do the work of God. But the world competes with that money. And instead of giving it to the work that God intended it for, we're giving it to everybody else. And the house and the United We Can is struggling to get membership because we're too busy using God's resources somewhere else. A dollar a day, $30 a month to be a United We Can member. But instead of financing, because when it comes down to it, is, you know what? We don't have anything unless it's of God. I don't have anything unless God had made it possible for me to do what I do. So how can we hold back on what God has given us, and we prefer to give it to the world than to give it to the work of God? You know, I don't know about you, what kind of gang members you were or what kind of drug addicts you were. I got my neighborhood tattooed on my arm. Whenever my neighborhood would put up their plaque on a wall, I'd go put my name right next to it. Because I wanted two things to happen. I wanted people from other neighborhoods to know that I belonged to that gang. And I wanted the people in my gang to know that I put my name up there because I was willing to die for what I believed in. What I want to know is your name up on the tithing records? Is your name up on the United We Can report? You see, for a while I used to think, I don't have to fill out an envelope. God knows my heart. God knows how much money I'm putting. I don't have to prove to anybody how much money I put in the basket, whether it's a dollar or $5 or $100. Nobody needs to know. That's between me and God. But then I started to remember how eagerly I'd go put my name up on the wall to let people know I was from that neighborhood. I remember how eagerly I'd go put up my name so that everybody would know that I was down for mine and for my people. So when I put my name on the tithing envelope, it's because I want my leadership to know that when there's a building project coming up, my name's on the wall. When we need something for the church or for the homes, I want my name on the wall so that they can know they can count on me, that I'm going to give to the work of God. Because if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have anything. Many of us would be strung out. We'd be in jail. We'd be in prison. And now we got these good paying jobs. Why? Because God wants us to use our resources to finance the kingdom of God. Because it's more important for us to make a name for ourselves in heaven than in our neighborhood or with here in the world. It's okay if you don't like me. I got people in my corner anyway. The Bible says that they had these gold shields that were made out of solid gold. Solomon had made those shields in his heyday, in his glory days. When he was accumulating all this wealth from all these different provinces and kings and everything, he fashioned some shields. Now, the people that had the shields would be on the highest place where they were protecting the city. And when opposing armies would come, they would see the shields glistening in the sun. And it was a very intimidating sight because they thought to themselves, what kind of an army defends itself with shields that are made of solid gold? They must be a wealthy army. They must be a powerful army. And it was very intimidating for the armies that were trying to challenge the children of God. But when the king of Egypt came, he took all the gold from the temple. He took all the gold from the king's house. And he took the shields with him. And the Bible says that Jeroboam had a great idea. He goes, I'll make some other shields. But I don't have any gold, so let me make them out of bronze. And let me shine them up so that they look like gold. So that from a distance they appear to be gold. And they still might have the same effect, but it's not really gold. Let me put on an appearance that everything is protected, that everything is going well. Let me put on a good face, a good show, so that when people see me from afar, they think that it's business as usual, that I still have the anointing, that I still have the presence of God, that I still have the power of God, that I still have a relationship with God, but it's all bronze because there's no gold, there's no value in here. You know, years back, people would ask me, when I was in my sin, they would ask me, Mark, do you miss it? And I would say, miss what? Say, do you miss preaching? Do you miss being involved in ministry? Do you miss any of those things, being in front of crowds? Do you miss that? And time again, I'd answer the same thing. I would say no. I'll tell you what I do miss. I miss that assurance of knowing that God is with me. I miss that assurance of knowing that if my kids are sick, I can put oil and lay my hands on them and believe that God is going to heal them. I miss that assurance of knowing that whatever challenge is coming my way, I don't need to worry because God is with me. I miss that assurance that even though things might be tight, I know that God is my provider and that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I miss that assurance of waking up every day knowing that it doesn't matter what the day holds, God is with me. That's what I miss the most. Not the glamour, not the opportunity. I miss knowing that God is with me, that His presence is with me. That is what is most important. You see, the children of Israel and Jeroboam, they were putting on an appearance that everything was okay when those things that were valuable had been taken from them. I wonder how many of us are putting on appearances tonight. I wonder how many of us are putting on appearances in our Christian walk that outwardly we still wear the t-shirt. We still put on the suit on Sunday morning, but the presence is gone. The anointing is gone. The relationship with God is gone. We have the appearance of godliness, but there's no power because we've traded the gold for the bronze. We've traded that which was so valuable to us at one time for something that just appears to be valuable. You know that these men that were in charge of the shields had to polish the shields every day. Took a lot of work. They had to polish them so that they had some resemblance to gold. And at night, after they were done, they'd put them away in the guardhouse so that they wouldn't get tarnished or they wouldn't get rained upon or the weather wouldn't have any effect. And I thought to myself, it's so much more work to put on an appearance than to be real with God. It's so much more work when you're half-stepping than when you're walking totally and completely in the presence of God. Because when you're putting on an appearance, you got to worry about who's looking at you. What are people going to think? What are people going to say? What if they see me here? What if they see me over there? What if they see me talking to this person? What if they see me doing all the things that I really shouldn't be doing? So you start to hide and you start to go around things and you don't come around the people of God anymore. And it takes a lot of work. You start ignoring your pastor's phone calls. You start ignoring your leader's text. You start looking for ways not to come to church. You start looking for excuses. And it takes a lot of work to put on, to be an appearance of doing good when you're not. It takes more work than just being real and saying, I'm sold out to God. I believe and I trust in God. I might be going through a hard time, but I'm going to get a hold of the presence of God because He's my only hope. They were putting on an appearance that everything was okay and it wasn't. The most valuable thing that they had was gone. We have a beautiful ministry, a unique ministry, an anointed ministry that allows us and empowers us to do things that we never even thought imaginable. Let's not let the world come and take it away. Let's not let the world come and take that which is most important to us. We don't have to. Pastor Danny said it the other day. We can relate with the people of the world, but we don't have to be like them. We can relate with them, but we don't have to compete with them. We don't have to make a name for ourselves out there. We need to make a name for ourselves in the kingdom of God and in the house of God. We need to take those things that are valuable. And I know, you know, everybody goes through things in their lives, and there's times that we let it go. We start going off in a different direction and we start thinking about the possibilities of doing this and doing that. But that'll never compare to what God is able to do in an individual's life. You know, there are few things that bring me joy in my life. But Pastor Joel can attest to this. Every time we've gone to the prisons and we leave, I say, Pastor Joel, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for always looking out for me and pushing my applications. And even though when I was denied, even though when they were told me that I couldn't go in, you kept after it, you kept after it. And now look, thank you. Because there's nothing in the world that can compare to the feeling of bringing hope to a person that is hopeless. Of bringing a message of life to somebody that has given up on life. There's nothing like it. And that is the ministry of victory outreach. We have that anointing and God has given us access to it if you'll take it, if you'll value it, if you'll protect it, if you'll guard it so that the world doesn't come in and try to take it away. I'm going to ask you to stand with me all over this place tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands before the Lord this evening. Come on, lift your hands and lift your voice. Let's give opportunity for the Spirit of God to move in our hearts this evening. Come on, just open your heart right there where you're at. Just say, Lord, here I am, Lord. You know everything that is going on in my life right now, God. Maybe this evening you're here and you find yourself that you've been competing with the world, trying to make a name for yourself somewhere outside of the house of God. And you can be honest tonight and say, God, I don't want that in my life. I want to make my name in the house of God. I want to be on that list that my pastor and my leaders can count on when things need to be done. I want my name up on that wall, God, that says I'm sold out, I'm dedicated to this ministry. Because I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. Maybe you're here this evening and you thought to yourself, man, there's no way that I can do the things that they say that God is able to do in their lives. Yes, you can. I want you to know tonight, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been. God can use your life to reach hurting people. God can use you to impact the inner cities of the world. If you'll just believe and walk in His anointing and know that it's nothing to do with you and everything to do with God. Come on, all over this place, just lift your voice. I believe God wants to do something very special in people's lives this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, we worship you, Jesus. I'm going to invite you from all over this place just to come to this altar. If God has ministered to you in any way, or if you're in this place and say, you know what, I just need to get my life right with God. I need Jesus in my life. I want you to come from all over this place. Hallelujah. Come on, don't let nothing hold you back this evening.
Because of you, treasure every breath I own this too.